Good morning. Last week we began discussing the sugya of Srara, and we began talking about under when and under what conditions can you fire a Rav, a Rebbe, someone who works for the public. I'd just like to revisit two points that were mentioned. The first is we discussed the Tshuva from the Igros Moshe. He had a case where there was a Malamed, a Rebbe, and in the contract was for a limited amount of time. And nevertheless, the Igros Moshe writes that that itself does not change the halacha, and even after the term of the contract expires, still he cannot be fired unless it's established that there is cause. The Igros Moshe then adds, he's Masupik, that even if it says in the contract that he can be fired without cause, the Igros Moshe suggests that this may not be binding. And his reasoning is that since the directors, the people who run the Moysed, are Gizborim, they are representing the public. So what he writes is that they're charged with acting L'Shem Shemayim. That's their mandate. Run the school, Al Pi Halacha, L'Shem Shemayim. He says, firing a Malamba that's doing a good job without cause, Stam, because you don't like him anymore for whatever your reason is, he says, that is not L'Shem Shemayim. And therefore, even if you have a contractual right to do it, the whole Tanai is batal because the Tanai is not L'Shem Shemayim. You are the Menahel, or the directors in this case, were overstepping their authority by creating such a Tanai which violates Halacha. Based on that, it would seem, if his argument is just that you're acting Shaloi L'Shem Shemayim, If the contract says that he can be fired for cause, or he can be fired if he's not doing a good job, but to avoid going through a bezdin or going through the expense and the time involved firing him, you want to create a simpler system, like there's one person in charge of making that determination. A very strong argument can be made is that there's nothing in that Tanai that is not L'Shem Shemayim. So perhaps even the Igros Moshe would agree in such a case that it would be fine. Now, one other point is that when we're talking about the concept of srara, when it comes to firing a malambit, firing a rav, firing different positions, in truth, if you look at the truvas carefully, they are dealing with a number of different svaras. Now, they jump back and forth, and many of the truvas mix and match, but there are really four different svaras, and each truva has a little bit of a different angle of what they're coming from. When we talk about the srara, the word srara is concept, comes from the halacha by a melech, by a kohen gadol. There's a concept in srara. Once a king is a king, there is no real process of impeaching a king. It gets passed on to his children. There's a din yerusha, which we'll discuss a bit later today. That's a true srara. There are many cases that do not necessarily qualify as a true srara, and we'll go through some of them. But yesh lodoin, whether a Rebbe is really a sroror, whether it's really a position of power. A chazin, there is a discussion whether it is a sroror or not a sroror. But even the poskim, even in cases where it does not qualify as the halacha of a sroror, very often there is a minhag. The Mincha Shleima, for example, in discussing firing a Rebbe, suggests that it is not a sroror. It's not a public position. It's not a political position. Nevertheless, he says, lo shamana, we don't find, it's just not done to fire a Rebbe without a good reason. Therefore, that minhag, the minhag itself is binding, and you cannot stam fire a Rebbe. Now, the Chazam Sofer also really says the same svara. When we mentioned last week, they discussed his firing a Rav. Now, as we're going to see this week, a Rav, the Chazam Sofer, is mitzaded, is not a srara. Again, we'll have to go through, there are two different shuvas about that. But nevertheless, when it comes to that discussion is whether it passes Birusha to his children. So the Chasam Sofer in Siman Yud Beis says it does not pass to his child, it's not a real srara. However, when it comes to firing the Rebbe himself, there we had in Siman Reish Vav, he says you cannot do it because lo shamanu kazeh, the minhug was when you hired a Rav, it was for life. Once that is the minhug, so you cannot go ahead and change your mind midway and fire the Rav. Now, the third concept is a concept of cheshad. We discussed a few weeks ago the idea that if the Erev was put in one particular person's house consistently, you cannot switch it because of cheshad. People will presume or people will suspect that it's being switched because there's something wrong with the original host. So Hu Hadin, this svara is brought down, the Rajba brings it down, b'negeya ishliach tzibur. If you have someone who for many years davens for the Amud, and now you would like to be mesalek him, you'd like to get rid of him and put someone else in his place, there is this problem of chashad, that people will think that he is a bal aveira, he did something wrong, and that is why he's being removed, and therefore mishum chashad, you have to leave him in his position. No, so that in Simon Nun Gimel, there's a discussion that if he is a bal aveira, then you have the right to be mesalek him. However, over there it's clear that it's only when it's proven. The fact that there are people talking, there's a kol, that itself is not enough. It needs to be established and proven. And at that point, if he's not roy for the position, you're mesalekim. Now the last argument is the svara of ma'alim b'kodesh vein maridin. This, we find this concept by a nasi, by the Rivosh says it by a rav as well. Ma'alim b'kodesh vein maridin, if a person has a position of kedusha, we do not remove him, we don't knock him down a notch. Ma'alim b'kodesh vein maridin, and that is another reason given why you cannot be misalik someone who is working for the public. Now, based on these reasons, Minchas Yitzchak has a tshuva in Chelek Gimel Simen Kuf Lamed. He's talking about a mesholach. And he says a mesholach, although it's certainly not a srara in the sense that this is a powerful political position, it is not necessarily a position of tremendous kavod or respect either. Nevertheless, because he is a minu, he's working for the public, it wasn't a private organization, he was assuming that it was a kehilo that hired him, the Minchas Yitzchak says whenever you're dealing with someone who works for the tzibur, who works for the kehilo, he cannot be fired without cause. Again, with sufficient cause, none of these halachos will apply, but once you need cause, then already there's a whole process. Then already it's a din Torah to figure out whether or not the cause exists. But the Minchas Yitzchak really applies it across the board, anyone who's working for the public. So now let's discuss some specific examples. What is the halacha of a rav? Is a rav a srara? And under what conditions can a rav be replaced? So over here we have two tshuvas. The first is a tshuva of the Rivosh. We mentioned parts of the tshuva in the past. Rivosh had a case where there was a rav. The rav passed away, and his son took over. His son was a rav for a few years, and vayhi hayoyim, a second Talmud Chacham moved into town, and he also started praving, he started doing what a rav does. And the question is, is he allowed to do that? Can a second rav move into town and start taking over some of the responsibilities, some of the position of the first rav? So Rivosh says no, for a number of reasons. He begins by saying that since the rav's father was originally there, when the father dies, the son takes over Birusha, which we'll get to soon. And therefore, once he yashins the position, it's his, it can't be taken away. He then adds, even if there was no Yerusha, since for a number of years the son actually acted, was the acting rabbi, even if it wasn't Yerusha, the fact that they appointed him, that itself is a reason why he cannot be removed. And lastly, even if he wasn't appointed, even if the city had not formally installed him as a rav, the very fact that he was noyig like the rav, so he says that itself is enough for it to become his. The halacha of the krushim that we mentioned last week, that once he was the acting rav for a period of time, it cannot be taken away from him. So this is the tshuva of the Rivosh, very clear, saying once there's one rav, another rav cannot come in and take away part of his shtela. However, there's a second tshuva from the Trumas Hadeshen. Trumas Hadeshen was asked a very similar question. The issue was there was a rav in town, a second rav wanted to move in or moved in, it was taking away business, if you will. People were going to him to be Masada or Kedushin. He was taking away the first rav's parnasa. And the first rav wanted to stop him. Zog the Trumas Hadeshen, nothing doing. There's a concept of a malchus, there's a melech goes birusha. You can't have a second person deciding who wants to be a melech. Kahuna as well, a kohen gadol, we saw from Kairach, we have one kohen gadol, we do not have two kohenim gedolim. However, when it comes to the keser Torah, He says that Keser Torah is munach and mufker lakal. It's something which is hefker. Whoever wants to take the Keser Torah can. And the first person has no right to stop him. He's losing it's hurting his parnasa. And we know there's a concept of Asagos Gvol that a foreigner can't come in from another city and take away another Yid's parnasa. So why is a Rav worse? He says he's much worse. Because Me'ikar Hadin, Mani Bechinam Ata Avata Bechinam, a Rav shouldn't be charging for giving Shiurim. A Rav shouldn't be charging for passing halachos. What a halacha that shouldn't be done. Elomai, we have a problem. The Rabbanim have to eat. So there are all sorts of heterim, schar batal, the tzibur's mechuyiv to support him, all sorts of different shtiklach Torah that will come up with how a rav is allowed to get paid. But he said to turn around and now take that and use that to stop a second rav from coming in, he says, chas v'shalom, that you can't do. And he says, there's no din of asagos gvul, a second rav wants to open up, there is absolutely no problem. So we seem to have a direct sira. We have a rivash that says that once there's one rav, no one else is allowed to interfere. And then we have a second shuv in the Chumash Hadeshin that says absolutely not, that there's no din of asagos gvul. Anyone can come in, the Keser Torah is mufker lokal, and there's no problem moving in, even if there is already an established rav. Now what do we do when there's a suffolk? So the Ranach actually paskins that if it's a suffolk, even if it's a machlokes, he says the first Rav would have a din of a muchzik, even though it's not regular dine mominis, but the concept of a srara, the concept of, he says, is, and calls, yes, the first Rav was there first, he says if it's a suffik, even if it's a machlokes, the first Rav would prevail. Now the problem with this machlokes is that the Ramon Simon Reish Memhei brings down the Rivash, and he brings down the Chumash Hadeshin, in the same sif. He said one after another, he brings down this halacha. Number one, the rivash, that if you have a rav who yarshins it, it's his birusha, another rav cannot come in and interfere with it. And then right afterwards, he has in the same halacha, he brings down the Chumash Hadeshin, that Torah is, that when you're dealing with the Keser Torah, there are no rights, there are no chazakos, and anyone can come ahead and interfere. So the achrayim are all troubled. How do we deal with these two tshuvas that seem to be flat-out contradictions that are both brought down lahalacha? So there are a number of different mahalchim. Some are mahalak whether he is poisik yusa the gamri or not. That normally a second rav is allowed to come in. That's only if there's room for both. They can both coexist. However, if he's going to completely knock out the first rav, there the shach suggests that might be worse. I'm not sure if it's Mikra Adin or more of a Minhug, but that is one potential chiluk between the two cases. That if there's room for two, that's fine. But if the first rav will be knocked out, he can no longer practice, that would be worse. What many other Achrayim say is, it's not necessarily a steer to this pshat, but they say there's a basic difference between the cases. The Rivash is talking about a formal shteller. You have a kehilo, you have a shul, and they hire this person to be the rav. This is his shteller, he's the rav. So if he's the rav and someone else comes and says, listen, I want that, he comes to the shul and says, push him aside and put me in as the rav in his place. In other words, he wants to take away the formal position that he has. There the rivash says no. The rivash says that's a srara and you can't go ahead, you can't push him out. Malum kayish me maridin, crush him, different svaras, that's protected. Chumash Hadeshin was a very different case. Chumash Hadeshin, there was a little village. There was a Talmud Chacham in the village. So naturally, people came to him to ask him shaylos, and he was a paisik. When they needed to give a shir, so they needed a drasha, so he's the one, he was the Talmud Chacham town, he was the one that would give the drasha. It wasn't a formal job. It wasn't like the kehilah went ahead and said, this is a srara, you are going to be our rav. He acted like that because whenever there was a need, he was the one that was qualified to fill that need. In a case like that, if a second rav wants to come, and he's also a Talmud Chacham, so now, when people have shaylos, they may choose to go to the second rav. Now, when there's a chasana, instead of being mechaber, the first one for Siddur Kedushin, maybe they'll ask the second rav. There, it's not a question of a srara, of a specific formal position that they're fighting over. They're just two people who are going to, in this city, that will be chashuvah tamidei chachamim. Some people will go to one, some people will go to another. So in that case, that's the case of the Trumas Hadeshin, where they're not fighting over the position. The issue is whether there's a concept of Asagos Gevul or a Chazaka on I am the Rav and I am the Poisig in town, you can't come here. And on that, the Trumas Hadeshin is passing, that is not a Taina. If a second person comes in, he's Roy Lakach, even though now the first person will have less covered. Less people will ask him Shilos, less people will ask him to be Masad or Kedushin, etc. But there it's not a question of Asrara, and that is Mutter. Just to add one other Knesh, which is brought down, and that is that just when there's a Kehila, the Kehila hires someone. So we discussed before the concept of a Chazak with mitzvahs. The Kehila has the right, if there's a mitzvah, they can give it to one person. The same way in the context of aliyahs, the tzibur can go ahead and decide that this aliyah, this person is always going to get maftar yoina. So now he'll have certain rights to it. When it comes to people asking shilas, that's not something that belongs to the tzibur. Someone has a shilah, he can ask whoever he wants. Someone is making a chasana, so he can invite whoever he wants to be masad or kedusha. That's not something that the tzibur can be mechayiv everyone. When you make a chasana, you have to use this person to be Masad or Kedusha. That's not something that the public owns. It's one thing when you have a shul and they have to give an aliyah, so the public controls who gets the aliyahs and they can give it to a specific person. But to go ahead and start telling people where to ask their shilos, who or who to use to be Masad or Kedusha, there the concept of a bailus on that doesn't really exist. It's not something which is in the tzibur's hands, and that is why the tzibur can't control that. So this is the concept of Rabbanus. Rabbanus, we have this machlokes, Riva, and what many learn is that if there's a formal Rabbanus, it has a din of a srara, it can't be taken away. If it's just a question of practicing, there we have a Trumas Hadeshin that says a second person can also practice, even though it will, you know, take away somewhat, but the bottom line is they both have the right to be Rabbanim, to Paskin Shailas. Now the other another case that's discussed is a case of a Shliach Tzibur. So over here, the halacha is a Shliach Tzibur cannot be removed. The Rajba says it's Mishum Chashad. He focuses on the reason is because of Chashad, because if he's taken away from his position, people will assume it was because of an Avera. Whether it has a din of a Srara or not is somewhat debatable. On one hand, it does sound in some places like it does have a din of a Srara, similar to a Rav, and therefore it cannot be taken away. However, at least the way the Chassam Sofer understands it, he says it's really lav dafka. He says the ikar din is mishum chashad, and it's not a true srara. It's not a position like a rav or a king or a kohen gadol. Again, you're just davening for the yomad. It doesn't rise to that level of a srara. Now, a few nafkaminos, which are really rayas to the Chassam Sofer. What happens if you find if you have a chazan, but someone else moves to town and he has a better voice? So the Ranach paskins that you cannot completely get rid of the first chazan because of chashad. People will think that he was fired because he did an avera. However, everyone wants to bring in the person with a better voice. He says what you can do is you can hire the second person, but keep the first person on a rotation. Have him switch off. Rotation. What do you accomplish? Well, if it was a din of a srara, to go ahead and to knock down the srara halfway is also a problem. But if the problem is only chashad, that if we take him away from his position, people will say he's a balavera. So as long as he keeps his position somewhat, he's still on the rotation, he's still diving for the amud, so obviously he's not a balavera. If he was a balavera, they'd have to get rid of him completely. So Ranach Lechara learned that it was only because of chashad, and therefore if you can avoid the chashad, then you have the right to remove the shliach tzibur as long as Reiv of the Kahal agrees to the move. Now, being a Rosh Yeshiva is brought down is a srara. That's a position. It's a position of power. That's something which should have a din of a srara. Firing Rosh Yeshiva will never be simple because of that. Even without the problems of chashad, it will have a din of a srara. The next halacha of srara is the concept of Yerusha. To what extent and under what circumstances is a child entitled to inherit his father's position? The makar of this halacha is the concept of a melech. A melech, when he dies, his children yarshin the throne. This din of Yerusha, the Rambam writes a few important halachas. Number one, he says, even if the child is not as talented as the father, the concept of Yerusha still applies. The Rambam actually makes a distinction. He says, if the child has Yerushamayim, but he's just doesn't have the chachma of the father. So then you make the child, the son becomes the king, and you hire a tutor. Over time, he will learn wisdom. You can train him in, and he still yarshins the melucha. On the other hand, like the Rambam, if the child, even if he's a chacham, but if he doesn't have Yerushalayim, to hire him and give him musar on the job, that is something that's not going to work. And therefore, if he's not does not have Yerushalayim, then this din Yerusha does not apply. Now, obviously, this is not a regular Yerusha in Dinei Mamonos. If a father has $20 million and he dies, his child will yarshin it whether or not he has Yerushalayim. But when it comes to a srara, the child has to be mamalim makim aviv in Yerushalayim and at least have some level of chachma. A king dies and he leaves over a cotton. So even in that case, we mentioned last week, the Rambam writes, you hold on to the kingdom, you have a caretaker government until the child gets older, until he's able to assume the throne, and then he takes over. Now this halacha is by a melech. By a kohen gadol or by other positions, it is not clear whether this would apply. You know, although a kohen gadol certainly is a din yerusha, there are at least some achrayim that say that's only when the child is roi lakach. To go ahead and to have install a caretaker kohen gadol until the young child gets older, that according to some places we don't do. This halacha may be limited only to a melech. Now this is all malchus. Now, if there are no sons, let's say you have a melech or a rover who only has daughters, does the son-in-law have this din yerusha? So Avodah Zarah Gershuni in Siman Mem Tes says no. He says, we don't find anywhere that a daughter is a yerush. If a daughter is not a yerush, a son-in-law has no rights to his father-in-law's shteller. So the Avodah Zarah Gershuni says no. Umayis of the Ramah and the end of the Tshuvas Ramah and the Imre Yosher says that Alts Minhag and a number of other Tshuvas also argue, and they say that in a case where there are no sons, a son-in-law will yarshin. Some say Maker Hadin. It's not a regular din Yerusha, and they say over here an Eidim will get it. Others say Mishum Kavoid of the Nifter. We give it to, even though there's no son, but we will give it to a son-in-law, Mishum Kvoidai, and certainly, you know, Lechadchili certainly should get it, and I think that is the Hanhaga Mekar idea. Now, obviously, if there is a son and a son-in-law, the son will have Kadima, just like in Hilchos Yerusha, a son is the one that's Yarshin, the way Yarshin. So here as well, when there's a son and a son-in-law, certainly the son would have Kadima over an Edom. Now, the Rambam's talking about a melech. The Gemara in Yuma says this halacha by a kohen gadol as well. Kohen gadol dies, if his child is royal lakach, he becomes the kohen gadol. Now, he doesn't have to be the most qualified, but as long as he is royal lakach, even if there are greater ones out there, still he will become the kohen gadol. The Gemara also says that this is only by a regular kohen gadol. A Meshuach Melchama, which is the Kohen Gadol that was appointed, not as the regular Kohen Gadol, he was the one that when Klal Yisrael went out to battle, he is the one that came and gave them the Musa Shmuz, Mia Isha Yarev, Aracha Levav. He is the one that gave them the Shmuz before the Melchama. He went to war with them. A Meshuach Melchama, the Gemara has a drasha, does not go Birusha. That's, first, it's the whoever is appointed, he is the Kohen Gadol, but when he passes away, when he gives up the kahuna, it does not pass to his child. There, Sanhedrin will appoint another kohen gadol in his place. What about Rabbanus? Does Rabbanus have a din of srara to pass on to the next generation? So this is a tremendous machlokes. The Chasam Sofer in Siman Yud Beis has a long tshuva where he says like this. A melech is a political position. It's a position of power. And there it goes Birusha, and the Rambam says, Hu Adin, a Nasi, anything similar to a melech goes Birusha. Zakh Chasam Sofer, why do we need another pasuk by a Kohen Gadol? Zakh Chasam Sofer, because a Kohen Gadol is not a srara, it's not a position of power. It's a position of Kedusha. His job is to be a Kohen Gadol, to be Mespal, to bring Karbonos, to be Mechaper for Klal Yisrael. Zakh Chassam Sofer, a job or a position of Kedusha, there's no Dina Yerusha. The Kohen Gadol, and that's why Meshulach Muhammad does not pass to his children. Kohen Gadol, he says, is a Gzeiras HaKosov, Me'ezit HaMeshahu, that's the exception. But a Meshulach Muhammad that does not have this exception, or any other position that involves only a Dovership of Kedusha, Chassam Sofer in Siman Yud Bey says, there is no Din Yerusha. And therefore, he paskins that if a Rav dies, his child does not have Kedima. Now, this is clearly not like the Rav Ash. Rav Ash's tshuva was talking about a Rabbanus, and the Rav Ash was saying that the very fact that his father was a Rav is a reason why he has the right to become the Rav. But Chassam Sofer is arguing, and he says it's Dovr Sheva Kedusha, you do not say this idea of Yerusha. This is in Siman Yud Beis. In Siman Yud Gimel, the Chassam Sofer has a second tshuva. Now, this tshuva apparently was written after the Chassam Sofer had been on the job for quite a while. He had been a practicing Rav. And what he writes is, although I always paskin that a Rav does not, Rabbanus does not go to Yerusha because it is a Dovr Sheva Kedusha, apparently that was in the beginning when he held that a Rav's job is to paskin Shilas. A Rav's job is to give Shiurim, to give Musar, Dovr Sheva Kedusha, no rights of Yerusha. However, once he saw what was going on, and he's doing things where he is just working for the tzibur, it is not strictly a dovr shebekdusha of giving shiurim. There are many. Much of what he's doing is just making peace and dealing with the politics of the community. So the other Chassam Sofer says, now that I see that it's not just a dovr shebekdusha, he was chozer from his psak, and he says that today there is a din yerusha, not out to the rabbanus per se, but because it comes with it other you know, related areas and powers. There he says mikano lahaba. He says that you do have a din yerusha by rabbanus. Now, the Magen Avraham brings down from the Asara Mamorois that even though Mikar HaDin, there shouldn't be Yerusha, similar to this Chassam Sofer, nevertheless, the Minhag in Klal Yisrael, from Hillel, Hazakin, and on, the Minhag was to pass Rabbanus B'Yerusha. L'maya said, this is the Maskana of Kemat, all of the Poskim. Some say Mikar HaDin, many say Mikayach Minhag, but the bottom line halacha is that Rabbanos will pass Birusha if they have a son that is Roy Lekach. Now, I heard a story last week about how apparently that in South Africa, the Rav had passed away. He left over a son who was young. He was not yet Roy Lekach. So what had happened is that the Bezdin there was Machlit. They said that the community should send this Rav to Eretz Yisrael, let him learn, get smicha for a few years and get smicha. Then he'll be Roy Lekach, and then he will take over his father's position. And Kachava, that's what happened. This is an example of Yerusha of Srara. This is actually, runs a bit counter to the Achronim I mentioned before, that you do not wait for a Rav, you only wait for a Melech, but I mentioned that's a Machlekes. But, so that, you know, that is the Hanhagel Lamaisa, that if there's a son that's Roy Lekach, he will Yarshin his father's Rabbanus. Now, two exceptions or two caveats that the Shuvah Sanhagas adds. The first is, he writes, that if it depends on the type of shul. If you have a rav of a shul the way it used to be, that's a srara, kedusha, not kedusha, that goes birusha. However, Rav Moshe Sternbach writes that if it's a shul which is basically run by a board, and the rav was hired by the board, and the board makes decisions, there he says that in a case like that, the rabbanus does not have a din of a srara. And in a situation like that, he says, that will not pass Birusha. When the Rav passes away, the board can go ahead and can hire another person. A second point that he makes, and he says it's B'Shem L'Chassam Sofer, B'Shem L'Chavetz Chaim. We mentioned that a Kohen Gadol passes Birusha. A Meshuach Melchama does not. What's the difference? The difference is that a Meshuach Melchama was hired. What was his job? Klal Yisrael was going out to war. They needed someone who was a powerful orator, someone who could inspire them with a good Musar Shmuz. So if in that case, Zakhtar Moshe Sternbach, you have to hire the person. It's time of war. There are people's lives are at stake. You have to hire the person who will give the best Shmuz. We don't look at what his yichus is. We don't look at what his father did for a living. We hire the person who is most qualified. Zogt, Rav Moshe Sternbach, Chavetz Chaim, today every Rav has a din of Meshuach Melchama. Today, every Rav, what's out there is a mechama to try to keep people from, to keep people on the Derech HaTorah. And therefore, he says, today we don't have the luxury of passing it on Birusha, Bishas Mechama, you have to go with whoever's most qualified, and therefore he suggests that this halacha will not apply. Again, whether this halacha l'maisa or not, I don't say. This is the kind of thing which, you know, there have been Dinei Torah about, there will be Dinei Torah about, but this is at least the other tzad. No, okay. If a Rebbe passes away, is there Yerusha on the being a Rebbe? So here we have two tshuvas. The Igros Moshe in Chesh Mishpach Chelik Beis Semen Dalet, rather short tshuva. The issue was apparently part of the Chassidus unilaterally taking certain action. But there the Igros Moshe writes that if the Yerush wants to go to a Din Torah to say, you can't use the name of the Chassidus. I am this Rebbe because I'm his son, and I don't want this breakaway using the same name as this Chassidus. Rav Moshe says he has the right to do that, and therefore he says you have to go to Din Torah to figure out who's who. But Rav Moshe writes very clearly that on the idea or at least the concept of calling yourself a certain Rebbe, there is a concept of Yerusha. And the Yoyrish, the person who takes over his position, is the one who will have the exclusive right to call himself this particular Chassidus, this particular Rebbe. Now, he doesn't explain why, and I'm not sure. Perhaps he meant simply it's a question of Sheker. If Al Pi Din Torah, this son is the Yoyrish, he is the new Rebbe. So someone else who calls himself that same Rebbe is simply lying. So perhaps, Pashat, it's that you have the right to stop him. It's also possible that it's Atzkenevis Das. If Al Pi Din, this son is considered the Rebbe, and now someone else is walking around saying, I am that Rebbe, so he's being Goinev Das everyone else. People who are going to come to him looking for that Rebbe will now go to the wrong person. So it's Atzkenevis Das, it's Sheker, and could be it's also Asagos Gvul. Again, Rav Moshe doesn't write the reason. He just says that the Dover Pashut, there is a concept of Yerusha on who has that title. That is the Igros Moshe. The Divrei Chaim has a very famous tshuva, where it was also a fight among children of a rebbe. And he goes fakert. The Divrei Chaim, you're arguing over who is going to be the rebbe, who's going to have that title. He says, I don't understand. The rabbonus or rebbe was never a shteller. It was never a srara. The pshat was there was a tzaddik that lived in this town. His brachos were in the sky. People saw he had Ruach HaKodesh. So people came. They wanted to get the bracha from him. They wanted to get his advice. They wanted to hear, wanted to be at his tish. They wanted to hear his Divrei Torah. He said, something like that, that's not a position. That was just a fact. So see what happens. If someone's Roy Lakach, if his child is Roy Lakach, if the people see he's a tzaddik, people see he has Ruach HaKodesh, they want to come to him, they'll come to him. But Zakta Divrei Chaim, it was never a formal srar, it was never a formal position. And therefore, he says the concept of Yerusha doesn't make sense. Everyone can go ahead and have their own tishin, have their own things, and whoever people want to go to, they'll go to. And therefore, Divrei Chaim says it's not a srar at all, and therefore it doesn't pass bechlal a din Yerusha. Now, this, of course, leads us to a very crucial question. And that is, how do we deal with a machlokes? What happens if a Rav passes away? His oldest son, he has one son who's Yarshin, who's the Yarish. People don't like him. The community does not want him to be the Rav. Or what happens if he has two children, an older son and a younger son? The older son will have Kadima. But the community prefers the younger son. What is the halacha in such a case? So this is a tumult among the Paiskim. The Avni Nezer says that he points out that normally if a king died, when a person becomes a king, you anoint him with the Shemen HaMishka. A Ben Melech, you don't anoint, because it's not a new start to the kingdom. He's just yarishing, he's taking over his father's position. If there's a Machloikis, if there is a issue in Klal Yisrael over who to be the king, then even when this child becomes the king, you have to be Moshech him with the Shemen HaMishka. So some learn from this that the din of Yerusha is just a din of Kedima. It's a chiyuv on the klal. When the father dies, appoint the son in his place. However, if there is a machlokes, if roiv of the tzibur does not want this person, then this din is batel. Now, on the tzibur, perhaps they're doing the wrong thing. If they don't have a good reason, they may not have the right to object. But if they do object, the fact on the ground that he is not merutza to roiv of the kahal, some poskim say that the din yerusha will be batel. Now, the Marsham says this is only when they have a legitimate taina. In other words, if there's an issue whether he's roi lekach and roiv says he's not roi lekach, again, this is more a different makil's argument. Different makil says that in such a case, roiv says he's not roi lekach, then he's knocked out. However, if they don't have a good reason, they just stam like someone else better, they like the other son better, they don't have a tam hogun, they're ready. The different makil and Marsham both say in such a case, even roiv does not have the right to strip the yoirish of his rights. And they're mechuyev to appoint him. Marsham's lashon, you know, it's mesamet to lashon mokzim. He says even one person can be kayyuf for the community to accept this person as the rav because he's the yoirish. He has the rights. So the Minchas Chinuch says yes. Minchas Yitzchak and Minchas Chinuch and the Marsham both say that v'hayim yoyim hanchiles as banav the din of Rabbi Yochanan ben Breukob in Hilchos Yerusha, he has the right to take one of his yorshim and single him out. But so pashtus he would have the right to do so if he is mamana one of his children. Now I should add the Divrei Chaim, by the way, besides saying there's no din Yerusha on a rebbe, he adds that if you look back, he gives a whole list of rebbes. He said the minhog was not to give it over to their children. He said the custom was to give it over to their talmidim. Because again, it's l'shitasai, they gave it over to it's something who the most qualified person, the biggest tzaddik, is the one that becomes the rebbe. And therefore, the Divrei Chaim says, if you look, many of them did not pass it to their children, even if their children were tzaddik, and they passed it to their talmidim because they were really the true mimala makim. But anyway, so when there's a machlokes, so here we have different shitas. When there's no tam hogun, so then the pashas is they do not have the right to be misalukim. When they do have a reason, that is machlokes. Some poskim say the Yerusha is still kayim unless he's mamash not roi lekach. Others say as long as there's a reason, if roi of the kahal rejects him, then he loses the rights of the sarara and the tzibur can be mamana anybody else. Now, even according to the Oshitas, that if roi rejects him, he does not yarshin, clearly for someone to agitate and lobby the roi to reject him, that would be awesome. Because me'ikar ha-din, there's a din Yerusha. It's true, if they don't want him, then it will go away. But to go ahead and to convince people or pressure people to reject him, that would certainly be onimach b'charara, and that itself would be usur.